you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near.
Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall be shown mercy. That was Matthew chapter 5, verse 7.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, March 6, 2026. Oh, listening friend, welcome again to Mark and Friends. Today we're going to continue our journey through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 with Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church. Jesus teaches us in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is one of those beautiful words that we all hope we will receive, but sometimes it's a struggle to give out. Yet Jesus reminds us that the heart shaped by God's grace becomes a heart that extends grace to others. Let's explore what mercy really looks like in everyday life. Joining me in the studio is Pastor Mark Johnson and a room of friends. In fact, our staff, we have Paul and Carolyn, and Butch is here. We appreciate Butch. They all serve here at the WLUJ family of stations. We have the bear in the midst of us here, the bear who's written a number of great children's resources and resources for the whole family, and some other new friends in the overflow room. So it's great. And then some of our regulars and Bernie, who yesterday at the ministry leader luncheon in Champaign gave out a great message that encouraged all the pastor and ministry leaders. So we appreciate Bernie Lutchman, very involved in the community, serving God, along with the other friends that are regulars here. So I hope you feel prayed up and encouraged, because we prayed for you very specifically. A number of us asked God to reveal to us the importance of mercy and to be merciful, and how we can extend that love to others. So I hope you're encouraged by our discussion. And Pastor Mark has been taking us through the Beatitudes for the last couple months here. And today we're looking at Blessed Are the Merciful.
It's great to be here, Mark. And I just want to remind everybody before we dive into this a little bit, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is April 5th. It's coming up. If you're in a good Bible-believing church, be praying for that church and bring somebody with you to Easter services this Easter on April the 5th. People will come on Easter.
I think they say, Mark, that 90%+ of the people that are personally invited will attend church. It's just that generally we think, oh, they won't want to go. But if you invite them, and especially if you say, hey, we'll go to lunch afterwards or brunch or something, the incentive is great. But people go to church when people invite people to church.
And that's especially true on Easter Resurrection Sunday. And I would just tell you, if you're in a church that doesn't believe the Bible, you're really in a social club. You're really in just a place to hang out. Find a church that believes the Bible. Going to a church that doesn't believe the Bible is like going to a place that advertises steakhouse and you get there and all they're serving is sushi. You may like sushi, but it's not going to be for you what a good steak's going to be for you.
Yeah.
Go find a church that believes the Word of God, a church that believes in the resurrection, a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, a church that believes there's only one way to heaven. Find that place and you'll find a life-changing place for your life.
Yeah.
And so take advantage of that on April the 5th and be a part of the church on Resurrection Sunday. Today we're talking again about the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are all about happiness. A lot of commentators, as we said the last few weeks, actually substitute the word beatitude or blessed with the word happy. But this is not simply a happiness by circumstances. That's why the word blessed is used. It's by the Spirit of God. Happiness, joy by the Spirit of God in us is different than happiness that comes from our circumstances being good today, for it being a nice sunshiny day or whatever it might be. So you're going through this and Jesus is teaching us the way to God-given happiness. And we come to this point, and you can go back in the, I believe on some of the online things that you have, Mark, you can tell them about it. How can they go back and listen to some of the previous ones?
Yeah, and they're all in order via date, and you just search for Friday, but the various blessed are the meek and so forth. You go to greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, click on the Mark and Friends tab, and they're all just listed. Just go to the Friday edition, click on the MP3 file, and it'll just play, or right-click on it, and you can paste it into your email and then send it on to a friend. But stop by either one of our websites and go to Mark and Friends, and right there you can listen to this and 12-plus years of former broadcasts.
So, mercy, we're talking about mercy today. What we've gotten in the Beatitudes is a stair step, a foundation steps that lead each one to the next. And so Jesus is now talking about, blessed are the merciful, for they're going to receive mercy. So I'm going to ask this audience here today, and you can listen in with us, what's the difference between mercy and justice? Anybody have a word for us today?
It's when someone chooses to not give you what you deserve for something that you did, whereas justice is giving you exactly what you deserve.
Okay, anybody else want to add to that? Or let me just tell you, justice can be good for me, or justice can be bad for me. Mercy is good for me. You know, mercy is great for me. When I was about 20 years old, I had started going out to a different college, and I had to drive down this country road. It was a long, straight country, about 5 miles that I went down this one road. There was one section, it was all country. There's just cornfields all around. But there was one section where there's about 5 or 6, 7 houses, most of them way up off of the road. You'd have to really look up to see them. And I was going through that area one day, heading out to school, and all of a sudden those little red lights went off behind me and pulled me over. And he goes, the policeman comes up and he goes, do you know how fast you were going? I said, yeah, I think I was going 54, 55. The speed limit was 50. And so I didn't know why I was being pulled over. He said, not in this area. In this area, the speed limit's 40. You were going 55 in a 40. And I hadn't even noticed it. I was new going out to that school. And after that, I began to look. And sure enough, there's about a quarter of a mile where those houses were, where the speed limit went down to 40. And so he said, I'm going to go back here to the car. Now, this, you got to realize this is a long time ago, before they had all the computers that they have now. And he's checking me out online. And he comes up to me and he says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you go today. I'm not going to give you a ticket. Because if I give you a ticket, you're going to lose your driver's license. Now, I didn't know why he said that, but I wasn't going to argue with him. I was grateful. I was grateful he's letting me go. Yeah. But it weighed on me. And when I got back home, I called a man that is a friend of mine that worked for the state police. And I said, hey, Jim, this is what happened to me today. He said, I can't get you out of a ticket. I said, I'm not trying to get out of a ticket. I'm not trying to get out of a ticket. Didn't get one. I said, but he told me I would lose my driver's license if I got another ticket. I don't have any other tickets. He said, let me check it all out. He called me back a few hours later. He said, you're not going to believe this. There's another Mark R. Johnson with the same birthday you have that lives up in Chicago, and he has all kinds of tickets. He said, somehow when he called in, said, I've got Mark Johnson here, they looked at him instead of looking at you. Now, he'd given me mercy thinking I was the guilty guy. Now, if he'd have given me a ticket and said, you're going to lose your license, if they'd have sent me something and said, you've lost your license, now you can't drive for a while, I would have protested that and hopefully gone to court and received justice. I would have gotten out of it by justice. I got out of it by mercy at that moment. Mercy is unmerited favor. I was going 55. In a 40. I deserved the ticket, but circumstances led to him to offer me mercy that day, and I'm grateful for it. Mercy is not something that we earn. It is something that is given to us and brings the blessing of God into our lives. So all of us need mercy.
I was thinking when you were talking about justice, many of us are passionate. We want justice. But then when we do something wrong, we want leniency.
We want mercy.
Yeah.
I think in large part, justice is good for the unrepentant and mercy can be good for the repentant. I think that's a big part of that.
Well, mercy's offered to all of us. I don't have to take it. When justice is given to me, I either want it or I don't want it. Mercy is something I can reject. I can reject the mercy of God, but it's offered to me. If I go to a Christless eternity, I go in spite of God's offer of his son to give me mercy. Yeah. Now, this scripture says something to us that's really interesting. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. So I've read a lot of commentaries about these verses. And some of the guys, really great godly men, they kind of paint up this picture of us being merciful as something kind of natural in some people. Some people are just more forgiving. Have you been around somebody that was just kind of more joyful all the time than normal people, more positive, and then maybe around somebody who's more negative than other people, and it's just kind of the natural being. And they say some people are just more merciful. Well, what I would tell you is that this mercy we're talking about here is not an act of my natural mercy. It's an act of me going through this process of realizing that I'm destitute, of mourning over my lack of ability to even know what's right and wrong, of being meek before God and saying, okay, your way is the right way, I'll follow you, of being hungry and thirsty for righteousness. I'm hungry for, I want to do the right thing. God, show me the right way to live. Show me the right way to think. And when that happens and the mercy of God is moving in my life, the seed of God's mercy begins to move in me. And I naturally, by the power of the Spirit of God, begin to see others with mercy. Have you ever struggled with looking at somebody with mercy?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of times in life when somebody does something to us and the natural inclination is what? Revenge, anger. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And I heard somebody say that. I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. The person said, it sounds like you've been doing that a lot in your life. You've given a lot of your pieces of your mind away. You know, that's not a good thing. But that's the nature of man. That's our nature.
And that's probably because of pride. And I was thinking what Tim was saying, until we realize we're destitute, we're in need, that surrendering to Jesus, you know, because some people will say, well, I'm better than that person. And so they measure themselves to others and not measuring themselves to a sinless Christ and recognizing their need for him. And so I think because of our pride, that's why we can be more judgmental or less merciful because...
Well, isn't it amazing how wherever someone puts the bar for good enough for heaven, they can put it high, low, but it's always just one step below themselves.
And that's the whole point of the Beatitudes. That's why it starts with, blessed are those who are poor, destitute of spirit, who come to the real... See, we're all destitute of spirit. Every one of us are. We just don't know it. We think we've got it figured out. And when we begin to look, I remember coming to a point in my life, Mark, that I realized that some of the people I loved the most and cared for the most, that I was hurting them. I was causing pain to them. That was happening because I was making decisions out of my flesh instead of understanding the wisdom of God and making decisions from the Word of God. And so when I come to that point that I realize I'm destitute, I don't know the right thing, then all of a sudden everything begins to come into line. I can find the kingdom of God then. I can't find the kingdom of God until I come to this point of I am totally unable on my own to get there. So now, you know, when we're holding this grudge, let me ask you, does a grudge feel good? No. Grudge doesn't feel good. And I'm bitter at somebody. Does that feel good?
It'll warm you in the moment. But when you keep holding it, it burns you.
It's just crushing. Even in the moment, Tim, I would say it's causing angst in me. It's causing anger in me. It's causing disruption in my spirit because I'm thinking about that person in such a way. And maybe they've done something really bad to me. But guess what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for our repentance. He came and died for us and offered us his mercy. So in this series, some commentators kind of say, well, you just got to be those people who are naturally merciful, they're going to be happier. But what this is really talking about is the appropriation of the Spirit of God in us that gives us the ability to look at someone who doesn't deserve our mercy and to say, I'm going to give them mercy. I'm going to look at them and see that the best thing for them is to come to Christ. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they can just go to hell? Boy, that's an unchristian thing to say. That is not the Spirit of Christ. Christ came to say to everybody, you don't have to go to hell. No matter how bad you are, you can go to heaven. So this blessedness is this sense and the empowerment of God that moves in our life, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I believe that the Bible is more than just about learning knowledge about Scripture. I believe it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to move in us if we open our heart up to it, and our spirit becomes transformed.
You know, I know we've shared this a few times in the past, but operating in the Spirit versus the flesh, and I go to that, is it Ephesians, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And every time, the Lord's convicted me of this for many months, but any time I operate outside of this fruit of the Spirit, if I'm impatient, if I'm not being gentle, if I'm not showing self-control, if I'm not kind at any point, that's me operating in the flesh. And I just keep thinking about any time I'm not being loving or bringing peace into that circumstance. If I'm all agitated or, oh, what do you think about that political thing? And with this, well, that's not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And I think these Beatitudes all fall under, we need to operate in the Spirit.
This is the revelation of how the kingdom of God works. The whole of the Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of God, the rules of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God works. And many, many times throughout the Sermon on the Mount, it is very, at times, anti-cultural. He is turning things the other direction. And right now he's telling us mercy is the right direction. Before you're receiving mercy. And that comes to us because we're blessed. The Spirit of God moves in us, and it produces a heart that has the mercy of God, produces a heart that offers unmerited favor to others. It's not something we put on. It's not something we do by the law. I'm a Christian now. I got to grit my teeth and say to that person that I'm really seething at inside, oh, I'm okay with you. When inside we're seething or angry, but yeah, you're my brother, and I love you anyway, and it's okay, I forgive you. And our heart is really just stirring with a storm. No, it's where God heals our heart of those storms.
You're correct earlier on when you said that they build on each other.
Yes.
Because we have received mercy and grace, we're supposed to pass it on to those who mourn, those who are broken. There's a lot of broken relationships out there, and those who are meek and can't maybe fend for themselves. And Jesus gave a great example when told about the man who forgive their debt and the other guy who wouldn't forgive the guy who owed him $50.
Right.
So mercy goes both ways, but the Beatitudes, they're so wonderful, like most of his teachings, where they build on each other all the way down.
Now, if you're wondering about Bernie, I think that's in Matthew chapter 18, Bernie, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That story. It's Jesus telling us what the kingdom of God is like again.
Yeah.
Here's how the kingdom, you've received great mercy. But I believe it's, again, more than a law.
Yeah.
It's empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, what I wanted to be clear about is this. This does not mean that we make ourselves vulnerable to people who've hurt us. It means in our heart we are enabled to lay down the spirit of anger over their hurt. We're healed from the desire of revenge because they've hurt us. It is a supernatural touch within us that when we ask about them, we can love them. And we go, oh, I don't feel that way towards them anymore. Well, I'm not talking about the feeling of love. I'm talking about the nature of love that wants the best for others. What's the best thing that could happen to somebody who's hurt me? The best thing that could happen is that they find the nature of Christ, that they realize they've hurt people. They may realize they've hurt me. They may not realize it, but they repent of those kind of actions. And they come into the nature of Christ. It doesn't mean I put myself back into a place where they can harm me. Honestly, I've had people hurt me, taken advantage of me so badly that it would take Jesus to show up and tell me you can trust them again. He would have to show up in my life and say, I'd fix them. I wouldn't trust them with my feelings again. I wouldn't trust them again with my health or my life. But I can pray for them that they would be healed. All they're doing is acting in the sin nature. They're just sinners trapped in this world. And if they come to Christ, their nature will be changed. As my nature's been changed. That's what we're praying about. His mercy will make me so I carry no ill will towards them, even though I've been wounded by them. I'm delivered from that pain. So what this means to me is I no longer have the rage or the disgust, but I have a sense of mercy towards them. And this is where we say, you can be blessed now because you're healed of all that inner junk, of all that inner rage, all that seething that's a storm in you. You're healed from it, and you can kind of look at them. And, you know, there's an old Bob Dylan song where he says, I wish you could walk in my shoes for a little while so you know how I feel when I see you. It wasn't a good feeling that he was having for them. It was not a good feeling. Well, when you walk in Jesus' shoes, we have a different feeling the way we see people. And that's what we want to do.
Oh, listening friend, as we've heard today, mercy is more than a feeling. It's the outward expression of grace that God has shown us. When we remember how much mercy we have received through Christ, It changes the way we respond to others. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for joining us today for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends with Pastor Mark Johnson and a room of friends. And remember, as we draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amen.